KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have cloudy skies. It's breezy, 39 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy and windy today with the daytime high right around 40 degrees. Winds southwest at 20 to 35 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. Members of the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department's Board of Directors Monday evening heard various seasonal activities-related updates from Parks and Rec Director Seth Staselm. The board was expected to vote on a vice chair to succeed Mary Strong, but tabled the motion because newly elected board member John Krogman was unable to attend the meeting. In other business, Director Staselm spoke first with regard to the Schulberg Rec Area Development Project. He said the playground equipment has arrived and it's being kept in the newly renovated Parks and Rec shed until it's installed sometime next spring or summer.
It is completely full with the playground equipment. We got in on a truck and it took us about 3 hours to unload with a skid loader. We had literally about 20, it was about 6x6x20 foot long pallets that were in there, posts and slides, and wanted to keep it inside. Since we're responsible for it, I don't want anything to be taken.
He mentioned also that designs are underway for the 30x50 foot west side shelter at the Schulberg Park, the installation of which would also take place next spring, weather permitting. With regard to the sports complex across the street from the KJAN studios on North Olive, a meeting was held to look over the various plan options for what's needed and what's possible for the future.
We're still going to have to meet, look at priorities and different strategies and stuff of that nature. But in this plan, we're incorporating space for the soccer, flag football, and hopefully maybe tackle football to incorporate a lot of the youth sports, give them something to compete at, and also bring in people into town to host tournaments and mainly attract visitors and also attract young families to come here.
Staselm said the department is currently taking a look at improvements to Cedar Park and Millette Park, including the public gardens there.
Having a plottable raised bed gardens that would be rentable to either organizations, individuals, hard surface parking, and then a walking trail to still promote healthy living with edible landscaping spread throughout different beds.
Preliminary plans also call for a shelter and playground at that park located in the cul-de-sac on east of East 3rd Street Place. Those and other preliminary plans will be made available for public feedback online and elsewhere in the weeks to come.
We have in our five-year plan budget of $15,000 for community parks. We've also have $10,000 trees each year.
The Parks and Rec Board's Jolene Smith reported during the meeting Monday evening that they had received $50 from Bikers for Bikers group that held an event last month to benefit local biking and walking paths. After the event was held, the Parks and Rec Board received a check for $120 from the group, so the $50 is in addition to that. And as mentioned, Sunnyside Park remains open for activities. Once the weather turns bad, though, the roads inside the park will be closed until spring for safety reasons. Residents of Atlantic and the surrounding area are being invited to attend a legislative forum on health care issues. The event takes place next Monday, November 27th, beginning at 10 a.m. at Atlantic Specialty Care at 1300 East 9th Street, and features Representatives Tom Moore and Tom Shipley, along with other constituents of the legislature. Those planning on attending should let others know about the free event and come prepared with your questions and concerns with regard to the legislature and long-term care. Some topics that are sure to be brought up that affect the long-term care include Medicaid underfunding and how much facilities are losing due to reimbursement, how the loss of 90-day retroactive will affect long care facilities and residents and families. You can listen to stories as well from staff who have left long-term care due to survey issues and what those in the health field call overzealous surveyors. Dementia residents and combative residents, mental health patients that they cannot accept due to survey issues and fear of fine and sites, also difficulties of families finding placements, and other issues. If you have any questions on that legislative forum, call Kelly Jimerson at 712-243-3952. Well, a fire at a home about a mile west and a quarter mile south of Brayton Saturday afternoon left a family that was new to the area homeless. Brayton Fire Chief Tom McGovern told KJAN News that the fire was reported around 1 p.m. Saturday, and by the time firefighters arrived, the upper floor of the home was fully engulfed in flames. The parents, three kids, and three other adults had escaped without injury. The fire marshal was expected to be on the scene on Monday to try and determine the cause of the blaze. The names of the victims were not immediately available. Firefighters were on the scene for a few hours and called back several times to extinguish some hotspot flare-ups. Other departments lending assistance on Saturday in the form of water and/or personnel include those from Exira, Atlantic, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, and Audubon. Officials of the Exira EHK School District had posted on their Facebook page that the family was looking for a place to live along with clothes for their three children. You can find out more by going to the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton Facebook page or on the same story at KJAN.com on the news page. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers reports a man and woman were arrested Saturday evening for burglary and theft of services along with possession of marijuana. Officers took the pair into custody at around 5:30 p.m. Authorities allege 31-year-old Seth Allen Simmons, a homeless person, and 37-year-old Shelley Lane Steiner of Villisca entered the Celebrity Inn and occupied a room overnight. Brothers said the pair was not authorized to stay there and failed to pay for their lodging. Furthermore, it's alleged that Simmons and Steiner had caused some minor property damage in their room. They were also found to be in possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Simmons and Steiner were arrested without incident in the Clarinda Fairway parking lot. They were being held in the Page County Jail on $5,600 bond each. The Glenwood Police Department reports two arrests took place on Sunday. 47-year-old Philip Sales of Council Bluffs was arrested for providing false information and on Mills County warrants for possession of drug paraphernalia, driving under suspension, and unlawful possession of prescription drugs. Bonds for the offenses amounted to $4,600 altogether. And 29-year-old Seth Peters of Glenwood was arrested Sunday for public intoxication. His bond was set at $300. A man in Creston reported to the police department there on Monday that someone had stolen his wallet. The wallet was missing from the area of Union and Elm Streets and may have been taken sometime between Sunday and Monday. Inside the wallet, there were several items of identification, bank cards, and cash. The loss was estimated at $200. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest Monday morning of a Red Oak man following an altercation. Officers were dispatched around 7:30 a.m. to the intersection of First Avenue and North Broadway for an altercation between two men. Officers determined the 37-year-old Daniel Bruce Clemens Jr. of Red Oak threatened another man with a knife. Clemens Jr. had left the scene and officers were able to track him down at the intersection of West 2nd and West Washington Avenue. He was taken into custody and charged with assault while displaying a dangerous weapon. Clemens Jr. was brought from Montgomery County Jail and held on a $2,000 cash bond. Red Oak Police report also a hit-and-run accident was investigated Saturday night in Red Oak. Officers were called at around 8 p.m. to the 300 block of East Prospect Street for damage to the driver's side door of a legally parked vehicle. The vehicle was a 2003 Lincoln Aviator owned by Devin Francis Meek of Red Oak and was legally parked facing westbound. It appeared that someone had backed out of a nearby driveway from the south and backed into the side of the vehicle. The owners of the driveway advised officers that a lot of people use the driveway to turn around on that street. Damage to the Lincoln was estimated at $1,500. No further information was known. And a perpetually circulated grandchild in trouble phone scam is back. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers said Monday that a Clarinda resident was contacted that day by someone identifying himself as Sergeant Davis with the Clarinda Police Department. The caller said the resident's grandson had been arrested for possession of marijuana and needed $7,600 bail. Brothers adamantly reports this is a scam. The Clarinda Police Department does not have a Sergeant Davis, and the call is a variation on the International Grandchild in Trouble arrest scam that's been circulating for many years. The scammers, he said, are very convincing and may oftentimes know the name of the grandchild, as this information is easily obtained on the Internet. He advises you do not provide any information to these people and hang up immediately. Culprits may repeatedly call back and be insistent that you go to the bank immediately and withdraw funds, swear you to secrecy. But again, this is a scam and you should not fall for it. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.